Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Waksak, and today we will be learning Parshat Shoftim. This Parsha continues the mitzvah section of Sefer Dvarim, which is an overview of how the Jews will be able to hold on to the land they are going to enter. We begin with the commandment to appoint judges, with an emphasis on their fairness and a prohibition against accepting any bribes or even any gifts. A reminder of the prohibition on Asherah, the cultic worship sites with trees, and a reminder that our korbanot must be perfect, segues into the command to execute idol worshippers, but only with the testimony of at least two witnesses. The section on judges is rounded out with a halachic command to set up a court system to adjudicate according to the laws laid out within the Torah. The parsha then records the mitzvah of appointing a king. Three unique prohibitions against having too much wealth, too many horses, and too many wives, as well as a requirement to write and carry a Sefer Torah, highlight that the king is also subject to Hashem's laws. A third class of leaders, the Levim and Kohanim, are then discussed. The unique rules that apply to them and the priorities that they should have are explained. The Jews as a whole are reminded that the communal practices like worship of Molech, a fire deity whose worship involves passing children over flames, and the consulting of auguries are prohibited. A fourth type of leader, Nevi'im, are then discussed. We are told that Hashem will send Nevi'im to us, but there is also a danger of false prophets, and we must ever be vigilant between the two. We are reminded again of the laws of an Ir HaNidachat, an entire city of idol worshippers, which we are commanded to burn. Judicial laws, such as the command to respect boundaries of private property, the need for at least two witnesses in court cases, and the prohibition against false testimony are recapped. The Parsha continues with the laws of war. A ceremonial blessing of the troops by the Kohen Gadol should precede battles. We are informed of groups exempt from conscription, such as a new bridegroom, someone with a new house or vineyard, the laws requiring peace overtures, and the prohibition on plunder and wanton destruction of fruit trees round out our understanding of how to conduct wars in as just a manner as possible. The Parsha concludes with the Egla Arufa, a sacrifice offered by the heads of a city when an unclaimed body is discovered in close proximity. This Parsha hones in on the goal we have been developing, how to create a society that will allow the Jews to hold on to the land they are poised to inherit. This week, we primarily focus on leaders and the critical ways in which they will shape society. These types of leaders represent a separation of powers, with each one filling a different role. The first type of leaders are judges and magistrates. We are commanded to proactively appoint them. Shoftim v'shotrim titein lach. B'chol sha'arecha asher Hashem elokecha nitan lach l'shevtecha v'shavtu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. You shall appoint magistrates and officials for your tribes in all your settlements that Hashem has given you. They shall govern the people with due justice. Not only do we need to create courts, but we are bid to create a judicial system. One that is at each gate, i.e. in each city, but also for each shevet. As the Ramban explained, each city had a local court, and additionally, each shevet had an appeals court for local cases. There was a hierarchy within these courts of talented judges being promoted to higher courts. The Mishnah Sanhedrin even explains the process of how judges were seated and promoted closer to the front. Judges in the back spoke first to ensure that they were not cowed by their senior peers in front. The pasuk gives us a clear explanation of the importance of this system. Tzedek, tzedek, tirtof. Leman tichyeh. Justice, justice you shall pursue so that you may thrive, so that you may live. V'yarashta et ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha notein lacha. And occupy the land that your God Hashem has given you. We need courts to create a just society. The Ramban points out a sod, a hidden level of interpretation, on the double language of tzedek. Leman tichyeh le'olam haba. B'tzedek hasheni, shu tzedek elyon, v'hu ha'or ha'gadol ha'tzafun l'tzadikim l'atid lavo, v'hu uzo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will pursue justice, tzedek, so that you can dwell in the world to come with the second tzedek, which is the righteous one, i.e. God, who is the great light hidden away for the righteous in the Messianic era. And this is the might of Hashem. As opposed to our opening verses where the word tzedek was singular, here we are told to pursue a double tzedek, the mystical true justice that merges with God above and is only seen in the next world. We are commanded to work for justice in this world, but the Ramban is hinting to the idea that we may not see its truth fully until we are in the next world. While this may not be attainable, our goal should always be to work towards it. The Torah, in his introduction to Choshen Mishpat, movingly describes how justice is the cornerstone of Jewish society and its greatest protection. In fact, many theorize that the economic growth and development within Western societies was a function of the judicial systems they created that ensured equal application of the rule of law. The rulings of the courts were enforced by the appointed magistrates, the shotrim of our opening pasuk. We are told how critical it is to have a mechanism for enforcing Jewish law, albeit only when it is properly witnessed. Together, the shoftim and shotrim seem to create a comprehensive legal system. However, in pasuk Yud Zayin, we are told, "Ki yifalei mimach davar lemishpat," if a case is too baffling for you to decide, "Bein dam ladam, bein din ladin, bein nega lenega, divrei ribot b'sharecha," whether it's a controversy over homicide, civil law, or assault, when you have these matters of dispute in your courts, "V'kamta va'alita el ha'makom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha," you will get up and you will go up to the place that Hashem, your God, will choose. "U'bata el ha'kohanim ha'levi'im ve'el ha'shofet asher yabayimim ha'im." You will get up and you will go to the Levim and to the priests and to the magistrate in charge, "V'darashta v'yigidu lach et dvar mishpat," and you will seek them and they will tell you the verdict in the case. Legal systems cannot cover every potential case that may arise. Therefore, we are commanded to have Kohanim and Levim as teachers who will provide education. This will create a dynamic and engaged society of educated people who can engage with the laws. Additionally, we are commanded to have a robust senior court located within the Beit HaMikdash to ensure the unity of the legal system. As the Ramban points out, "V'hatzorach b'mitzvah hazot gadol ma'od," and the need for this commandment is very great, "ki ha-Torah nitna lanu bechtav," for the Torah was given to us in written form, "V'yaduhu shelo yishtavu ha-de'ot b'chol dvarim ha-noladim," and it is known that not all opinions will agree on matters that will come up. "V'hine yirbu ha-machlakot v'te'asa Torah kama torot," and there could be many disagreements, and the Torah could be made into many Torahs. To safeguard against this legal unraveling, Hashem commands us to create a central Sanhedrin. However we might worry, how can we rely on these legal interpreters? The Ramban continues by quoting two psukim, one from Yechezkel and one from Tehillim. Yechezkel says, "Ruach Hashem al mishartei mekadsho," the Spirit of God is on those who serve in his mikdash. And Tehillim tells us, "Lo ya'azev et chasidav la'olam nishmeru," God will not leave his righteous ones, forever he will guard over them. The Ramban adds the words, "min hata'ut u'min ha'mechshol," that God will protect them from mistakes and from stumbling. Based on these verses, the Ramban is arguing that Sanhedrin will receive divine guidance and protection against error. This idealism and realism of human leadership, the notion that we must strive towards justice, which we can never reach, but also count on Hashem's protection of our leaders, is continued into the commandments around appointing a king. There's a dispute between the Rambam and the Abarbanel around whether there is a positive commandment to appoint a king, as the Rambam suggests, or a series of guidelines should the people insist on appointing a king, as the Abarbanel asserts. This machlokas reflects the very ambivalent relationship with political power within Judaism. To be a godly people, we need to follow God's laws. So centralized bodies that uphold Jewish law are critical. We need courts to interpret and enforce laws, but we also need political leaders like kings to lead the way and enforce things. Yet, Hashem is our king. As Gidon responds when the people try to make him a king in Sefer Shoftim, "Vayomer aleihem Gidon, Lo emshal ani bachem, v'lo emshal bni bachem. But Gideon responded, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. Hashem yimshal bachem. God alone rules over you. Gideon refuses leadership because he recognizes that as a godly people, it is Hashem we should follow. Humans are fallible. God is perfect and eternal. Yet when we read Sefer Shoftim, we see the outcome of Gideon's principled refusal. The poor leadership in the time of Shoftim, the very lack of a king, leads to idol worship and civil war. We are caught between two important principles. We need to create a country that can grow and thrive, and that requires leadership, similar to other nations. However, at the same time, we are not supposed to be like other nations. We are to be an Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nations. Our leaders need to do both of these. Create a nation, but one that is unlike any other. As Rabbi Menachem Liebtag points out, open quote, this form of national government will not diminish the kingdom of heaven, but will rather promote the universal recognition of God's kingdom and further the glorification and sanctification of his name, end quote. To help us balance the tension inherent within leadership, Moshe gives us a critical example of applied leadership, the ceremony of Egla Arufa, which ends our parsha. In this ceremony, the leaders of the city proclaim that they were not neglectful of this visitor and bear no guilt for his death. It is designed to call leaders to task, to remind them that their job is not to be lifted up. It is to make sure that even a stranger is cared for within the society they oversee. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein explains that the Egla Arufa is sandwiched within the laws of war, which we will continue in next week's parsha, because wars, even just wars, can cause us to become insensitive to the importance of each human life. Egla Arufa reminds us that each person counts. Coming as it does at the end of this parsha, it reminds us that the job of each leader, whether a judge, a Levi, a Navi, or a politician, is to serve the people. Just as leaders are called to answer to a higher authority in how they lead, so too are we. Just as the judges are called on to apply eternal laws, we must stand for the ancient principles that have sustained the Jewish people. But we cannot live in a world that is merely a theoretical construct. Just as judges need to apply laws to new situations, and kings need to build in the real world, we are called on to live our Judaism, to have it permeate our life as we go forth, to elevate our families, our communities, and our world. And we do this by remembering to treat each individual, even a stranger we're just meeting, as our responsibility. Someone we can help just by virtue of them being a Tzelem Elokim. Shabbat Shalom, and thank you so much for learning with us.